Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the feast of the presentation of our Lord used to be the end of Christmas according to the liturgical custom in the Western Church. It is the last story we hear about Christ as a baby. Then, after that, for 12 years, there is silence about Christ. In a church where I did my vicarage, the creche stayed in the chancel till February 2nd. So for those who think that Christmas is over too fast, that it is drowned by commercialization, just follow time-honored liturgical practice and extend the Christmas season till presentation. Then you have a whole month to sing the Christmas songs you did not sing during Advent. The themes of Christmas are present in this last Christmas story. The angels told the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here in our story, Simeon, a man just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, a prophet filled with the Holy Ghost, is led into the temple the very day when Jesus is brought by Mary and Joseph. And here he sees the Lord's Christ, as he was promised to him. He sees the promised Messiah. What the angels proclaimed on the field, here Simeon says in his psalm, "This very baby is the salvation, the glory of Israel." So Jesus is attested to by the angels and by the prophet of God. This baby is the Messiah, the expectation of all of the Old Testament and all of its fulfillment. But Jesus is not only the Messiah of Israel, but also the Savior of the Gentiles. The wise men came as the first of those outside of the Jewish people to worship Christ. And that finds its parallel here when Simeon says, "This child is a light to lighten the Gentiles." Now salvation has come for all, Jews and Gentiles. And so light, one of the main themes of Christmas and the Epiphany season, is present here too. The light of the world, a little child. If presentation is the close of the Christmas season, it's already close to Lent. And while the Christmas story is all light and joy and wonder, Simeon here says something that prepares us for what is coming. "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Here a shadow seems to fall on the light, a cloud that dims the brightness of the bliss of Simeon, who has found for what he has looked so long. It is the cloud of sin that we encounter here. What greater can there be than that God enlightens our darkness? What greater can there be than that God sends us consolation? As the dictionary defines it, an alleviation of distress and misery. Who does not want to get rid of his share of distress and misery? And to all the usual grief we already have, there was added this weekend the explosion of the Columbia shuttle. Families, they want to get rid of their misery. So why is it that there are not only people who are uplifted by the message of Christ, but that they fall when they encounter this light and comfort? Again, it is the reality of sin that manifests itself in resistance against Christ. He did that during his earthly ministry and till today, in many ways, in the massive unbelief we encounter, in the flight into ersatz religions, in the manipulation of Christianity for cheap comfort that helps me when I'm down, but does not require me to see the depth of my misery. Meeting felt needs is here not enough. Jesus shows us how great our distress is, and that hurts our self-esteem, or to put it in more traditional language, our pride. Jesus came to take away our distress and misery, but by nature we love it, even though it destroys us. It is like a compulsive behavior or a destructive relationship. It seems to be irrational that you don't get out of it, but we still like to ruin ourselves in such a situation. This darkness that Christ came to enlighten, that's not only passively dark, but it is actively darkening and trying to extinguish the light. And so when Christ dispels this aggressive darkness, then it's a fight, it's a struggle. A fight that led Christ ultimately to the cross, where it seemed that he, the Lord of glory, was overcome by darkness. And also in ourselves there is this struggle, and in the world. We need Christ to continually enlighten us against this aggressive darkness. And the world needs him too, even if this world seems to be disinterested, or they tell us, thank you very much for your offer, but thanks, no thanks. The light of Christ is powerful in itself, even if it seems to be weak and despised. Well, so was Christ during his earthly ministry. He seemed to be weak and despised. So what do we expect today? That people suddenly will no longer despise him? But that's how God comes to and acts in this world. He comes under the appearance of the opposite, of the appearance of the weak, the powerless. But it's actually God who is there, powerful, changing, dispelling the darkness. So Christ came to bring peace, and we hear in our text that people will rise and fall, a rather tumultuous effect of his coming. Christ is the light, but through him we realize how thick the darkness is in which we are. That's the final trick of darkness, to appeal to our desire for instant and easy remedy and make us think that here in Christ is not really the cure. There's tumult. It hurts. That can't be the cure for our problem, the cure for our distress. But listening to God's word and focusing on Christ as he comes to us in his flesh and today in his sacraments, we are made sure. Here and nowhere else is the consolation for Israel and us Gentiles. Amen.